You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
It's quite remarkable, little song.
Doesn't go. I'm going to ask this, and I'm sure I'm going to get the answer, but it doesn't go to the extreme of our reality TV shows.
No.
So we're getting a more realistic. Normalized.
This is not tabloid filmmaking.
Right.
This isn't, this is an exploitation flick. It's,
Yeah. Anything that surprised you or some extremes that you're not going to tell me?
I'm not going to tell you.
I know that, but I have to ask anyway.
No, so I can't tell you if I was surprised or if I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, come on. At least tell me there was something.
That surprised me?
Yeah.
Not particularly, no. I was just taken by the whole, these are genuine people, and they're, the vicissitudes of life, what life can sort of have its way with you, if you like, and how do you deal with that, and just the genuine love that a lot of these people felt. So no, I wasn't surprised, but yeah, I was definitely taken by that. And I think when people see the film, and they should see the film, they'll be taken with it as well.
Cool. All right. And it's not rated only because of what? It's a documentary.
Yeah, it's a docu, but there's nothing. I mean,
nothing in there.
You know, how can I guide you? You're not going to take your children to see this, or you're not going to sit them in front of the tube to see this or rent this because it's not for them.
Right.
But there's nothing.
There's nothing. SpongeBob doesn't show up. Right.
No, not at this point. I think I don't know the state of Bob's romantic life at present, but no, not in this film.
All right. Very good. 112 weddings. All right. I like that.
Yeah.
And so your pick of the week?
Magician, The Astonishing Life and Work of Orson Welles. This is from 2015. This is also not rated, and it's done by Chuck Workman.
Mm-hmm.
And if Orson Welles, for some of your listeners, is the rotund guy dimly remembered from the Merv Griffin show, or perhaps the corpulent guy selling the bargain wine, there's much more to him than that, and this film is about just what it says. And it uses a lot of interviews with Welles and the people around Welles and discusses and talks about, and we see just that, his life and his work. And it is quite astonishing also in his successes and some would say his great failures.
Mm-hmm.
And what a remarkable filmmaker and what an interesting man he was.
Yeah, you've brought him up a couple of times on our show.
Yeah.
He essentially blacklisted himself, right?
Well, I wouldn't say that he blacklisted himself, but what occurred was a number of things, but essentially, after he's, the young Hollywood boy genius of Citizen Kane, and then he makes Amberson's, The Magnificent Amberson's, another brilliant movie, but he doesn't keep control of it, and they re-edit it, and then he gets blacklisted from Hollywood, and he travels around the globe, and he's making films, and then he can't get money, so people are saying, okay, well, those people that could hire him, he can't get a movie completed,
mm-hmm.
and so forth and so on. And we have fascinating stories about films like Touch of Evil, which he was not slated to direct; he was just playing the heavy in it. And Charlton Heston, the lead, said, well, why don't you get him to direct it, and so forth. And, but he still managed to make brilliant films. I mean, Chimes at Midnight is a really wonderful film. But it's an absolutely compelling story. And, if you know who Welles is, then, mm-hmm. then it's of interest to you. And if you're of you know, a certain age, let's say, and as I said a moment ago, if he's that guy on the Merv Griffin show or wherever, and you're wondering, you know, if you remember that, who is this guy? What, you know, what was he doing there? Then you can see this film.
Yeah, he was a guest on a lot of different variety shows, not just Merv Griffin.
That became, yeah.
That was the only thing he could do, right?
Well, no, he was, you know, he had steady work in films. You know, you got to pay the rent.
Yeah.
He was not a wealthy man at all,
mm-hmm.
quite the contrary. But, you know, he got work of a certain kind. You know, he in the film, he's like, I get to play the, you know, the king in a lot of these films. And he did, you know, he did what work was offered. You know, he says in this film, I would have loved to play the Godfather lead role, but I don't get offered films like that.
Yeah.
He was, you know, he was certainly working and continued to work, but yeah, there was a certain reason he was. Well, he was also a marvelous wreck hunter, and that's why he was on the tube that way a lot.
Cool, excellent. All right, we got three good ones this week. Awesome. So the Mission Impossible new movie is out there. You say go with that. 112 Weddings, and this one was The Magic of, what was it? Orson
Welles? Magician, Astonishing Life and Work of Orson Welles.
Magician, very good. Was he actually a magician?
He was indeed.
There you go. I knew there was a connection there. Very good, sir. Thank you very much. Three good ones. We'll talk with you again next Friday. Appreciate it.
Next Friday.
All right. That's Mike at the Movies, a good friend of mine, independent film reviewer. You got three good ones, so go find what you want. And so he's giving you a go for the Mission Impossible film. And says it's probably the best one, or at least one of the best ones of the series. We're going to take a break. I'll be back with more of Good Morning Hollywood in a little bit.
Is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Headline News. I'm Ron Taylor. Cleveland can take pride in hosting the first debate of the political primary season. Emily Lauer with Destination Cleveland says hosting the first GOP primary debate is great for their city.
Anytime a large-scale event like this takes place, one that not only brings people to town, but also puts the eyes of the nation and the world on our city, it really gives us an opportunity to show off the revitalization.
The Q in Cleveland welcomed 10 Republican presidential candidates who shared the stage last night to discuss what they would do if elected. Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders has a lot to say about last night's Republican presidential debate. The Vermont senator tweeted up a storm during the two-hour debate on Fox News. To no one's surprise, Sanders didn't like anything, the GOP candidate said. And
you're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email. You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Amount of points awarded based on membership status and other factors. See ShopYourWay.com for details.
Republican Party insiders from Iowa and New Hampshire agree that Donald Trump's first political debate was a disaster. That's according to a bipartisan survey by Politico. Top strategists, activists, and GOP operatives from 2016's first two caucus and primary states were overwhelmingly negative in their assessment of the frontrunner in the polls. Trump was center stage for last night's Fox News primetime debate from Cleveland. Donald Trump, of course, saying he will not rule out running as an independent if he does not get the Republican presidential nomination. He also would not commit to supporting the eventual Republican nominee if he does not get the nod.
I cannot say I have to respect the person that wins.
Trump said he's never been politically correct.
I've been challenged by so many people, and I don't frankly have time for political correctness.
Fox News' Megyn Kelly confronted Trump with some of the disparaging comments he made about women.
You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals. Your Twitter account
only
has
Rosie
several...
O'Donnell.
This is USA Headline News.
Everyone knows the proper way to start your day is with a long, hot, luxurious shower. That's why we've created ProperSoap.com. We're called Proper because we're properly pure and natural, with no parabens, dyes, or harsh chemicals. 100% pure vegetable soap. We use rich shea butter and olive oil to moisturize naturally. And best of all, we think it's proper to give back. So when you shop ProperSoap.com, you're funding clean water and sanitation programs in villages across the globe. Shop ProperSoap.com and get proper.
As the Fox News Channel featured the first Republican debate in the 2016 bid for the White House, USA's Russ Jones reports social media is buzzing about Carly Fiorina's performance.
In what was dubbed as the happy hour debate that aired at 5 p.m. Eastern Time Thursday on Fox News, most commentators say the former Hewlett-Packard CEO Carly Fiorina overwhelmingly won. Fiorina, when asked about Donald Trump's success in the polls, says she didn't discuss her candidacy with former President Bill Clinton.
Did any of you get a phone call from Bill Clinton? I didn't. Maybe it's because I hadn't given money to the foundation or donated to his wife's Senate campaign.
I'm Russ Jones.
An executive for Donald Trump's organization is blasting Fox News after a Fox panel of GOP voters trashed the candidate's performance in Thursday's debate. Trump's special counsel Michael Cohen tweeted that the cable network's post-debate voter panel was a, quote, total setup aimed at lowering the real estate magnate's high poll numbers. It's now The Daily Show without Jon Stewart. Comedy Central aired the final edition of The Daily Show with Jon Stewart last night after more than 16 years on the air.
This is amazing. That's it. That's all I have. My thanks to everybody over all these years. When you look at the talent that's passed through these doors, I just want to thank everybody who lent their talents to this program. It meant the world.
The final show featured visits from special guests, including Stephen Colbert, the next host of The Late Show, and Trevor Noah, Jon's replacement. The Apple Watch goes on sale today at Best Buy. The chain store is the first third-party retailer to sell the smartwatch. I'm Ron Taylor, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
This is Genia Versa, CRPC, financial advisor.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center.
Do you have questions about your retirement?
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for
families. Will you have enough to live the life you want?
Inside our circle of care.
And when will you be able to retire?
We offer coordinated care.
If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Pat and Heidi Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Pat and Heidi and Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Well, good afternoon. It's Friday, August 7th. Can you believe we've had 1 week of August already, and here we are. Let's talk about the weather for a minute. Tonight, supposed to be mostly clear. Tomorrow, beautiful day, sunny, about 84 degrees for the high. So that should be a really nice day, and not supposed to be a lot of humidity. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy. Into Sunday, there's a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, but it would be after 2 in the afternoon. And otherwise, it's a partly sunny, high of, again, of about 84 degrees. And the, as I said, the chance of precipitation is only about 20%. So if you have the alternative be out there and do everything tomorrow, but otherwise it shouldn't be bad on Sunday. Again, on Sunday night, there is a slight chance of thunderstorms, and then after that, a slight chance of showers. On Monday, the chance of thunderstorms goes up to about 40%, and into Tuesday, they're not really sure yet. So that's the weather. I'm Pat Smits. The program is It's the Law, and I'll be back after I'll tell you about one of our sponsors. And again, I'm hoping that you will deal with our sponsors. They're all local businesses. Except for the news, those folks are not.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you.
This is Chris Phelan, president of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, and I'd like to congratulate our Leadership Hunterdon Class of 2015 for all of their success and accomplishments. Amy Anderson, Jeannie Versa, Joni Cafaro, Colleen Doerr, Carmel Gettings, Richard Hall, Michelle Cavanaugh, Elizabeth Lowe, Leslie Parica, and Dolores Van Pelt. They have truly accomplished much over these last 9 months. I encourage you to visit the Chamber's website, huntertonchamber.org, and read their white paper. Their white paper will contribute greatly to the future economic growth here in Hunterdon County. Also, please feel free to visit the Hunterdon Chamber's YouTube page, and there you will see a great video encapsulating all of their accomplishments, all of their growth, and the continued success, real impact, of Leadership Hunterdon here in Hunterdon County.
Good afternoon. The program It's the Law. I'm your host, Pat Smits. And those of you who know me know I'm an attorney here in Hunterdon County. And actually, I practice all over the state. My practice is limited to family law, so I don't want to bore you every week with family law. Just talk to you about legal news. At least that's what I'm going to do this week. Often I have guests. If anyone is interested in learning about a certain topic of law, just give me a call. You can call my office, and I'll try to get on the show an attorney who really specializes in that area. We have many really excellent attorneys here in Hunterdon County, and I'm always able to find someone who can deal with any issue. I know that this fall I'll be talking again about juvenile law, and there's so many areas. One of the things that people sometimes are concerned about is contacting an attorney. Look, you can contact an attorney. You don't have to retain the attorney, but there are a lot of litigants who are very happy that, in fact, they did contact an attorney. For example, in a case recently, the New Jersey Supreme Court ruled that the police did not need to obtain a warrant to search an Atlantic casino hotel room. Now, that, of course, was someone who certainly needed an attorney, and because that's an interesting case. In other words, the police in that case did not need to obtain a warrant to search a casino hotel room after the patron reported to security that he had been robbed at gunpoint in the room. So be careful what you wish for, and be careful what you do, because in that case, of course, they were able to search the room, and obviously that was not something that turned out to be a good thing for the person who had rented the room. Now, there's other local news. The lawyers in a wrongful death suit over a fatal drunken driving crash are debating whether the defendant must appear at a deposition while the appeal in her related criminal case is still underway. That's for those of you who have been following that case. It's Melrose Place actress Amy Conane. And so that will, you know, the courts are going to have to determine whether or not, you know, she must appear, because ordinarily that would be or could be considered, or she's going to try to say it would be considered double jeopardy, because if she wins on appeal and the case is remanded for a new trial, she could say something in the deposition that would be against an admission against interest. So the now, if you are a litigant and go up against Walmart, you are not always going to lose. In fact, a federal court in Newark has ordered Walmart Stores Incorporated to pay $274,000 in legal fees and costs after a jury awarded $200,000 to a former assistant manager who claimed he was fired in retaliation for taking medical leave. So there's a case where not only did someone win $200,000, he had his attorney's fees paid. And there are many cases where attorneys take it on contingency, and that's one of the important things about our system, because often someone like this former employee would not have been able to afford an attorney, would not have been able to afford to litigate, and so he had attorneys that took on the case. Now, you might say, well, what? How unreasonable for attorneys to charge more than the victim actually, or the more than the plaintiff was awarded. However, their legal fee application would have been scrutinized, and obviously they put in a huge amount of time in order to bring the case to court and to get a trial, and probably were up against a battery of attorneys on the other side who were doing everything possible to not just win the case, but to have the plaintiff just back off. Now, and the other thing is there's a veteran jurist now mulling over a proposed Exxon deal. So what are we talking about? Well, certainly when retired New Jersey trial judges return to serve on recall, they're rarely in the spotlight. They're rarely doing extremely important cases. And what happens here in New Jersey is that the court can bring back retired judges, and they're called on recall, and they can handle cases. And in fact, our Supreme Court has in fact verified or justified or okayed, I guess I could say, that the judges can come back on recall. And that was on July 30th. The New Jersey Supreme Court rejected a constitutional challenge to the use of recall judges, where judges who have passed the mandatory age of 70 are temporarily recalled to active service to help an ever-increasing caseload in the courts. So, as many of you know, there is in New Jersey a mandatory retirement age of 70 for judges. Frankly, I was thinking, and I think it still may come up as a constitutional amendment, to change that law. So, in fact, our New Jersey Constitution provides that all judges, trial judges, appellate judges, Supreme Court justices, all must retire on their 70th birthday. Now, what the courts can do is recall some of the judges to come back and serve. And however, in general, they're not dealing with high-profile cases. But now this is, the spotlight is now squarely on Burlington County Superior Court Judge Michael Hogan. Now, he retired on New Year's Day in 2012, and however, he's been serving on recall basis since a year later. And he's overseen one of the most polarizing lawsuits in the state, and that's the proposed $225 million settlement between Governor Christie's administration and ExxonMobil over contamination claims. And this is a deal that's harshly criticized by Democrats and by environmental activists. In other words, they're basically saying, hey, it's not enough, Exxon's getting away with a slap in the on the wrist by only having to pay $225 million. So this is going to be an interesting case, obviously, and one of our senior jurists is presiding over it. So what else is happening? Well, there was a case where I guess people might be interested in this. It's Ross versus Lowitz. It was a Supreme Court decision in New Jersey. And in this case, the Supreme Court found no basis for the claims of private nuisance or trespass against the homeowner defendants because there exists no proof of negligence, recklessness, intentional conduct, or conduct of an abnormally dangerous activity by these defendants. And additionally, the Supreme Court declined to expand these causes of action to impose strict liability upon the defendants. And the court ruled that the plaintiffs cannot proceed with a direct claim against the defendant insurers for breach of implied covenant of good faith and fair dealing contained in the insurance contracts because they do not hold an assignment of rights of the named insured. And there was no evidence that the named insured or her insurers agreed to recognize plaintiffs as third-party beneficiaries of insurance contracts. Now, I can certainly bring that case, anybody interested, provide more specific information, but obviously the case went all the way up to our New Jersey Supreme Court, which meant that there was an appeal from a trial court, and then it was either, I think this was brought up by the Supreme Court on certification, because the only way that a court can get, that a case can get to our Supreme Court is either one of the appellate judges dissents, so that it's a 2-1, and since there's a dissent in the appellate division, which really happens very rarely, they can go up to the Supreme Court by right. There's a right then to go up to the Supreme Court. Otherwise, the Supreme Court looks at cases, and people who are aggrieved with the appellate division decision can file a certification asking the court to take the case. As I said, it's not done very often in the run-of-the-mill cases. So they only take what they consider the very important cases. Now, there was another case about municipal authorities, and this was the licensing authority, and the appeal was from a summary judgment dismissal of the plaintiff's complaint, and they challenged an ordinance adopted by the township, that was Hamilton Township, assessing an annual $100 licensing fee on residential apartment units. And in this case, the court said they were obligated to seek an interpretation that will make the most consistent whole of the statute. And as a result, they concluded that the 1998 amendment, adding a subsection, which was N, and that permitted licensure of the rental of real property for a term less than 175 consecutive days for residential purposes by a person having a permanent place of residence elsewhere. And it went on to say that the accompanying bill, the statement with respect to the statute, served as powerful evidence of an intention to limit licensing residential rentals and constrained the provisions of the a subsection of that statute, which included hotels, boarding houses, lodging, and rooming houses, motels, furnished and unfurnished rental housing or living units. And so this, anyone who's involved in any kind of rentals, you better look at your ordinances and see what kinds of fees are, in fact, imposed or can be imposed. So what else is happening? As I said, the Melrose actress doesn't want to be deposed. There was also another litigant really won because in this case, implementing a policy to prevent sexual harassment isn't an effective defense to hostile work environment, and at least that was a claim. and it's not an effective defense to hostile work environment claims against an employer if the victim is not aware of the complaint mechanism. So this was an appellate division case. So in other words, if you're an employer and you have, and of course you should have a policy to prevent sexual harassment, you know, anyone more than two people, and probably sometimes even those cases when there's a boss who's doing the sexual harassment. But in any event, there should be a policy. However, just having a policy on paper doesn't help unless the victim is aware of the policy and aware of how to proceed with a complaint under the policy. So this is very, very important. And for all of you business owners out there, you know, please, you know, contact your attorney. Take a look at this, because so often, you know, this is just one more thing that we have to do as business people. But it's very important, because you can protect yourself as long as there is a policy in place, there's a mechanism that's followed, and the employer should not be held liable if, in fact, they investigate and deal with whatever allegations there are. So there is a, by the way, there's a good thing for motorists out there, and this is, you know, this is something that it's not at all unusual. So if you are stopped, even if you're involved in an accident, the police officers must give you an opportunity to gather and present your insurance and registration information before searching the car without a warrant. And so that is in fact in New Jersey, that's the law. Even if you're in a car accident, they have to give you an opportunity to gather up and present your insurance and registration information before they can search the car. So this was a case, the Supreme Court ruled on that on the August 3rd. And I don't know if I have that specific case with me today. But again, if anyone is interested, just call my office and I can give you more specifics about it. But that's an important ruling. So in other words, if you happen to have a couple joints in your glove compartment, of course you shouldn't have, and that's also a stupid place to keep them. But in any event, you know, you have to have the opportunity to present your registration and insurance information. The police can't just go in without a warrant and search your car. Now, there's a federal judge in Camden who refused to kick an asbestos case back to state court, and he found that the defendants did not miss the deadline for removal because the complaint failed to provide sufficient information to actually trigger federal jurisdiction. So that's always an issue in many, many cases, whether or not a case can be brought in state court or federal court, or whether one of the defendants can, in fact, ask the case to be removed from state court to the federal courts. And there are various reasons under which. I mean, certainly if it's a federal statute that's violated, that's kind of a no-brainer. But in other situations, there is a right to either proceed in state court or federal court. Now, in a case in the family court, this is not published, but this was a post-judgment matter, and the defendant appealed from a family parts order denying his motion for reconsideration. So what happens in a case is that once you get a trial-level order, you can, in fact, file a motion for reconsideration. It's very foolish unless there's something that the judge really missed. And if it's a matter of calculations that they were wrong, something that simple, usually you can do it without the necessity of a motion. But if you file a motion for reconsideration, it can't just be because you didn't like the result. And that often happens, obviously, but there has to be some basis. So in this case, the family part order denied his motion for reconsideration, and then he filed an appeal. And in that case, the order, and this now, this was just decided, and we're now, of course, in 2015. And what's important to always understand is how long it takes the courts. This case just came out, and it was an order from July 26, 2013. So it took 2 years for the case to wind its way through the appellate division and be decided. And in that case, the order declared the party's daughter emancipated and, however, increased the amount of his arrears by $8,000, denied his request to maintain his then-current rate of payment on the arrears. He was only paying $25 a week, and increased his payment towards arrears to equal the weekly amount he had been paying for child support. So basically, because he hadn't paid child support, and obviously the arrears were significant, the panel just said that the trial judge, who said to him, hey, okay, your daughter's emancipated, but you're going to continue to have to pay the same amount on child that you were paying in child support, now you pay it towards the arrears. And the appellate division said that was perfectly reasonable. And it found that it could not determine if the judge had improperly denied the motion for reconsideration, in this case because the defendant had not provided the court with a complete appendix, and the complete appendix would have included copies of the motions he filed and supporting financial documentation. So that's the other thing that makes filing appeals so expensive, because you end up having to attach voluminous documents as part of the appendix. And it's pretty amazing. I have a case on appeal now, and I think the other side deliberately didn't attach things. But in order to try to make sure that the case doesn't get remanded back to the trial court, I ended up having to put together voluminous documents in support just to show the appellate court everything that had happened at the trial level. So I'll be back after just a short break, and we'll finish up the afternoon. This beautiful afternoon will be followed by the sports guys.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington, or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
What can you do as a member of Rotary? You can eradicate polio. You can promote peace. You can feed the hungry. You can help children do better in school. Because Rotary believes that by working together, you can do anything. This is District Governor Megan Jones Holt. Learn more about Rotary and join me every Monday at 11 a.m. on the Rotary Hour, the show that is dedicated to answering the ultimate question of what Rotary is. Find us on the web at rotarynj.org. Rotary, humanity in motion.
Hi, I'm back again. It's Pat Smits, and we're just talking about some of the cases and things that are happening, legal news, and wanted to tell you a little bit about a case that was a contract case. And in this case, the action was asserting a multi-party conspiracy to deprive it of payment for commercial paper goods that it delivered to the defendant, Seaboard. So the plaintiff in this case was SG Enter. And they said that they had delivered defendant Seaboard, and defendant Woodsend moved to set aside the clerk's entry of a default against it. So in this case, the plaintiff filed suit, and there, for whatever reason, the defendants did not comply, and there was a default against it. And in this case, they moved to set aside the entry of the default, and the court found that the culpability for its delay was outweighed by its prima facie meritorious defense and lack of prejudice. So that was an important case because, in fact, they could not do what the plaintiffs wanted, which was, you know, not have to pay. There was another case, and, you know, estate cases, trusts and estates. I mean, we have, in fact, one of our my co-hosts on the program, The Sports Guys, is, in fact, a estate attorney and plans estate work. And it's so important that people, you know, retain an attorney, prepare a will, ask the types of questions that you need to ask, because there's so much litigation, there's so many problems. Any of you who have been involved in problems when someone dies, you'll know. People need to have a will. They not only have to have a will, but they really should have a living will. They need to let everybody know what they want done so that there's not a lot of arguing and bickering after they die. So in this case, Greenstein versus Bebiaksky, this was a Bergen County Chancery Division case. And initially, the adult daughter in that case consented to disintern her deceased father and put him in another part of the cemetery. However, she later contacted the cemetery to retract her consent. And the parties in this case who sought the disinterment were the decedent's wife, who was the mother of two of his children, and his sister. So that the court in this case found that these individuals have been shown to be extremely close and have a loving relationship with the decedent. And the decedent's adult daughter, who opposed the disinterment, had a fractured and strained relationship with the decedent. Further, there was evidence that evidence that the defendant opposed the defendant who opposed the disinterment was being done solely for the purpose of punishing her other family members because she was not invited to a family event. And so the court found that the credible evidence showed that the decedent was a family man whose preference would be to rest with his family. And so that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to disinter him so that he would be in the cemetery with other family members. So this was certainly, a very expensive way to have this done. All he would have needed to do is to advise his attorney when he was drafting a will or when he had changed his mind or when apparently in this case there was some family members that wanted one spot, some family members wanted another. So he really needed to make his wishes known while he was alive. But in this case, under the totality of the circumstances, the court found and favored allowing the disinterment. Now, you can't just go in, obviously, very easily and do this. But, for example, I know I was involved in a case years ago where the father allegedly died without a will. At least no one seemed to be able to find the will. And so what happened is he had an illegitimate child. And he was the father of this child who is now an adult. And so what happened is, because he had never acknowledged this daughter, in other words, pretty common knowledge that she was his daughter, but he had never acknowledged parentage. And so she actually went to court and, somehow passed the test that she was an interested person, because you can't just willy-nilly go into court if you have no interest in the lawsuit or the estate. And in this case, she was able to show that she did have a bona fide interest. And she went into court and got the court to require the body of her deceased father to be disinterred. And as a result of the genetic testing, they did confirm that she was his daughter. So these things come up. Try to make everything very clear so that you don't have those, problems. And in this case, that wouldn't have helped because it would have helped because all he needed to do was let everybody know where he wanted to be buried. And it's pretty common these days to have first family and second family, maybe third or fourth family. The question is, if there's possibility of a fight, the decedent needs to let his wishes known. And that was the problem in this case, because he had not. And then everybody was able to fight over it. Wonder if they fought over him as much when he was alive. So as I said, the troopers must give you notice before they go into your car. And in fact, they have to give you the opportunity to present the documents without a search warrant. If they have a search warrant, all bets are off. They are going to look. Now, there was, I'll have to bring a case because it's a very interesting case. I'm trying to look here and see if I have. I have some information on it. The case was Mantle versus Mantle. It was an Ocean County case. Judge Jones. Judge Jones is a trial level judge. However, what he's been doing, which is not common, is he's been writing a lot of opinions. And many of his opinions are being published. Not all trial judge opinions are going to be published. So this is important. And it's important to get more family law cases published because it gives attorneys good guidance as to how judges are thinking on certain things. But and for more reason, you can also use it as precedent. But in this case, there were the legally and, socially complex issues. And it's, there's a restriction in family court that is shorthand. They call it the DeVita restraint. And it's a term used to describe a court order which limits the amount of contact and exposure which a divorcing parent may permit a child to have with the parent's new girlfriend or boyfriend. So that's always the issue. Dad moves out. Can mom just move her boyfriend in? How, in fact, can you protect your children all at the same time not being over-restrictive of the other parent's rights? So in this case, Judge Jones was faced with this, and he said such a restraint may include but not necessarily be limited to prohibiting a dating partner from staying overnight while the child is present. So against that background, and often these cases have depended on, the religion of the particular judge and whether he or she is going to think this is egregious or just fairly normal in today's society. So in any event, in this case, Judge Jones held that neither the DeVita case nor any reported decision in New Jersey stands for the proposition that exposing a child to a new dating partner or even allowing the dating partner to stay overnight while the child is present is a per se inappropriate contact. So in this case, he also said that if, in fact, there's inappropriate contact, that has to be alleged. And so this was, in this case, there was no evidence or allegations of any inappropriate conduct or touching or, you know, staying overnight or any of the things that might have been considered improper. So let's play a couple spots from our wonderful sponsors, and then we'll be back with some wrap-up.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org. The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire.
Unionville Vineyards is the perfect destination for wine tastings and tours, corporate events, birthday parties, or your special day. Located in East Amwell, New Jersey, Unionville Vineyards offers an escape from the rush of daily life and a chance to relax in the beautiful countryside. Our tasting room is open 7 days a week, 12 to 5 p.m., excluding major holidays. For more information, contact us at unionvillevineyards.com or call us at 908-788-0400.
Okay, we're back. I'm Pat Smith, the program It's the Law, and I was talking about the family law case recently decided by Judge Jones. It's a 29-page opinion, Mantle v. Mantle. And in the present case, what the judge said is, as there was no evidence or allegation of any inappropriate conduct by a new girlfriend or boyfriend towards the party's child, the court denied the enforceability of an indefinite no-contact provision in a consent agreement. And that consent agreement prohibited contact between a young girl, or young child, I should say, and any dating partner of either parent. So that was the wording that the attorneys used. And I don't know the age in which there could be contact. But in this case, it was prohibiting any dating or any contact or any dating partner of either parent to have contact. Now, what the court also said, however, is the court set forth and ordered a one-year transitional schedule proceeding, or I should say, regarding the proposed consensual restraints, and also against exposing the child to a new parental girlfriend or boyfriends. So that there has been a view among some, and it's usually women, that they can control the amount of time that their child actually spends with the other parent because the other parent has someone living with him or her. So there was a motor vehicle case that for some people might be interesting. It's a Sanini versus Lampe. And in that case, Guldeep Sanani appealed from an order dismissing her complaint against the defendant. And the court dismissed it and entered a judgment. A judgment against her. And on appeal, she challenged the admission of defendants. So let's see what happened in that. So that was a jury, and there was a jury trial, and the jury found that there was no cause against the defendant. In other words, they found that the plaintiff didn't prove her case. And she had sought damages for injuries she sustained after the defendant struck her with his car while she walked to work during inclement weather. Now, on appeal, the plaintiffs challenged the admission of witness testimony and an aerial photograph of the accident scene. So this is, you know, they're not saying that it didn't happen, but they're saying it didn't happen the way she said it happened, and there should be no reason to sue them based on this. So anyway, on appeal, the plaintiff challenged the admission of witness testimony and of an aerial photograph of the accident. She argued that the trial court should not, and in this case not, the trial court should not have been allowed, not have allowed a witness to testify because his attorney, or because his testimony was irrelevant. So that was one of the things she was looking for. And the appellate division panel found that the trial court ruled that the witness's testimony was not unduly prejudicial. And they also found that his testimony was about the proximate cause of the accident. And the court recognized that there was no prior contact with respect to the attorney. And in this case, that his testimony about warning the plaintiff about the danger of her conduct prior to the accident, in this case, was directly related to the proximate cause of the accident.
Did you know that 48% of executives see the golf course as an ideal business environment? 93% said playing golf with a business associate is a good way to establish a closer relationship. This September, bring your business to the green and join us for our 2015 Golf Classic. This year's event will take place on Monday, September 21st at Copper Hill Country Club with a 9 a.m. shotgun start. Don't miss this annual event, which includes exciting contests, a networking luncheon, and awards ceremony that will present the winning foursome with the Hunterdon Cup. For more details, please visit www.hunterdonchamber.org or call the Chamber at 908-782-7115.
What can you do as a member of Rotary? You can eradicate polio. You can promote peace. You can feed the hungry. You can help children do better in school. Because Rotary believes that by working together, you can do anything. This is District Governor Megan Jones Holt. Learn more about Rotary and join me every Monday at 11 a.m. on the Rotary Hour, the show that is dedicated to answering the ultimate question of what Rotary is. Find us on the web at rotarynj.org. Rotary, humanity in motion.
If you're looking to get in front of thousands of new customers, connect with your current customers, you don't want to miss out on the largest business show in Hunterdon County. The 27th annual Hunterdon County Business and Home Expo, coming up on a new date, Thursday, November 5th, in a new location at Hunterdon Central High School in Flemington at the Fieldhouse in Common from 2 to 7 p.m. You surely want to sign up. You surely want to exhibit. Something you don't want to miss. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. The Republican presidential debates were held.
I guess I should say that's it for the program. I had the mic off, so I didn't say it. And the program, It's the Law. I'm Pat Smits, and hope to see you next Friday for more news about the law. And, of course, since it's the summer, things are a little slower in most cases. But I hope to have a few guests at the beginning of September so we can liven this up a little bit. But thanks for listening. And I'm